May the meditation of my heart and the words of my lips be acceptable to you, O God, my Redeemer. Amen. The first 2 weeks of Advent, we've been exploring various aspects of preparing for the Lord. Today, we might add another dimension to the act of preparing, and that is one of patience in the face of impossibility. Our second lesson from the letter of James begins with, "Be patient until the coming of the Lord." Being patient is not an easy thing, but a necessary step in anticipation of something coming. At this point in the season of Advent, the pace quickens as we realize Christmas is around the corner. Today is December 15th, and that drives it home. We measure things around Christmas in our larger culture as 10 shopping days left before Christmas. If we haven't done so, the urgency of various delivery systems comes into sharp relief. If I order the gift for Aunt Mary, will it get there in time? With new services like Amazon Prime and FedEx, the pressure can be off yet for a couple more days, but it's coming, and the movement of time gains greater awareness as the clock ticks forward toward Christmas. And so today, the writer of our epistle reminds us to be patient. This was an urgent issue for the early church. Framing his letter within the overall theme of patience and perseverance during trials and temptations, James, the brother of Jesus, writes to encourage his readers to live consistently with what they have learned in Christ. He wants his readers to mature in their faith in Christ by living what they say they believe. So while he's writing to them, he is also writing to us about patience in our journey of faith. This Sunday in Advent invites us to take a leap of faith by believing some amazing things that on their face seem impossible. It reminded me of a quote by Alice in Alice in Wonderland to the Queen. She says, "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was your age, I always did it for a half hour every day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." Believing impossible things takes imagination and patience. The third Sunday of Advent holds up 2 role models of patience and believing the impossible. The third Sunday, the Sunday of joy, places the beautiful prayer of Mary, the Magnificat, front and center. Here we have a virgin who finds herself pregnant with the Christ child, and what does she do? She rejoices. I don't know about you, but if my teenage girl came home and told me such a thing, rejoicing would not be the first thing out of my mouth. Mary rejoices because in God's realm, the change in power and privilege is upended. Those who have little power claim power, authority, and victory over the powers of the world. We hear, "He has shown the strength of his arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich he has sent empty away." Very little has changed today in this regard. It's hard to imagine that the coming of Christ can do such impossible things as turn the structures of power on their heads or claim a virgin to be a mother. Yet, we are invited to consider such impossibilities as a tenet of our faith not to mention the resurrection from the dead. The impossible continues with the signs of the Messiah bearing the fruit in the prophecy of the Magnificat. Here we hear John the Baptist, who is in prison, and he wonders if Jesus is the Messiah. The answer that John gets from Jesus is saying, Tell John, the blind are receiving their sight, the lame are walking, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. All impossibilities in a logical, sensible world as you and I know it. Yet such impossibilities also capture our imagination and inflame our souls at the same time. I have a hard time being patient. I'm a product of my generation. Faced with a problem or an issue, I want a resolution, but so much of life doesn't give us straight answers in our timing. Advent is about waiting, but waiting on God's time, not mine. Waiting for things to happen takes patience and seems like a dirty word in this age of instant gratification. Patience is about letting go of control, which for many of us can be a very hard thing to do. It's hard being patient when we are witnessing a loved one suffer, or anticipating the birth of a child, or expecting a package we've ordered coming in time for a loved one at Christmas. Believing impossible things and waiting in patience becomes an invitation to claim this reality in the journey of our faith. And at no time are these ideas more prevalent than in the season of Advent and Christmas, a season predicated on miracles and the arrival of Christ anew in our lives. Expecting miracles and waiting in patience for their arrival are central to the tenets of our faith and a necessary component in our preparing a way for the Lord. It is one of the reasons those who have come to know me know that I'm constantly pointing to God moments, real life Holy Spirit encounters when we experience the divine drawing near, those God moments. The Trappist monk Thomas Merton, who our church celebrated the feast of just this week on December 10th, invites us into a life of contemplation in which we patiently wait upon the Lord. Merton has many sayings and prayers which have been a rich gift to the church. Today, as we consider impossibilities, the miracles of our faith, and pray for the patience to wait for them in God's time, I simply offer this prayer of assurance in the face of impossibilities and ask to patiently prepare the way for the Lord. So let us pray. My Lord, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I'm following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore will I trust in you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone.